You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program that is ever evolving on this 20th night of June, year of our Lord 2015. I am your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander also in the studio with me this evening, and we have now, via telephone, a welcomed addition and a pleasant surprise, the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, Mr. Earl Holt, who is going to respond to the media's requests for interviews using this program as his vehicle. Earl, my friend, welcome to the program, and thank you for calling.
Thanks, brother. Welcome. Gentlemen, good to talk to you. You are such a silver-tongued devil, I must say. You are good. I got one question for you before I read this, just kind of a response that I think even Keith will approve of, be honest with you, because it's pretty non-inflammatory. That missing White House chef, do you suppose he served something that Michelle disapproved of?
Okay. Well, hey, nothing like a moment of levity in such a situation.
You guys sound so grim. Okay. This is just something, you know, I guess for the benefit of your listeners, this will be the kind of like the first place it's appeared. I haven't been able to get in touch with the webmaster yet. It's been brought to the attention of the CFCC that Dylan Roof, the perpetrator of mass murder in Charleston this week, credits the CFCC website for his knowledge of black-on-white violent crime. This is not surprising. The CFCC is one of perhaps three websites in the universe which accurately report black-on-white violent crimes, and in particular, the seemingly endless incidents involving black-on-white murder. The corrupt leftist media either spikes such stories or intentionally obscures the race of black offenders. Indeed, at its national convention some years ago in Indiana, the so-called Society of Professional Journalists even adopted this tactic as a formal policy. The CFCC is hardly responsible for the actions of this deranged individual merely because he gleaned accurate information from our website. We are no more responsible for the actions of this sad individual than the Olin Corporation was for manufacturing the ammo misused by Colin Ferguson to mass murder six whites on the Long Island Railroad in 1993. For the corrupt leftist media and its minions to suggest otherwise is why they are almost universally viewed as dishonest, biased, and irredeemably contemptible. The CFCC does not advocate illegal activities of any kind and never has. In fact, the CFC has always scrupulously observed the law, even when our leftist enemies have demonstrably and flagrantly violated it. I would gladly compare the honesty, integrity, and law-abiding nature of our membership to that of any group, particularly the perverts, liars, and Marxists who comprise the corrupt leftist media. I am yours truly, Earl Holt III.
Hear, hear.
Very good.
I certainly offer a hearty second to that well-written and produced letter, Earl. And I suppose you were listening during the first hour, but I would just like to reiterate what I said during the first hour for the benefit of those who may tune in exclusively to this hour to hear your response to the media, that I am a member of the Board of Directors of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and I'm certainly proud to hold that position. It's an organization that tells the truth, and as Keith said during the first hour, one cannot be responsible for... How did you put it, Keith?
The psychotic reaction of an individual who is motivated by nothing more or less than a truthful exposition of the truth.
And, of course, as we said earlier and made mention at the very top of the show, we understand that this is a tragic situation. Our hearts and prayers go out to the families of the victims. And I think, you know, there is nothing more reprehensible than the murders that took place. But coming in a near second is the way that the media and the government is taking advantage of this horrific scenario in order to further their agenda. That is truly disgusting.
But
that
you
it
know,
is disgusting that hate groups like the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, are doing this, that the media, the general media, is doing it, that the Obama administration is doing it. Shame on you all.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the Kennedy assassination. I remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, November the 22nd, 1963. The mainstream media, the New York Times, all of the exponents, ABC, NBC, CBS, were convinced some Ku Klux Klansman, or at the very least, some Southern segregationist, had assassinated JFK because of his activism in the civil rights movement. Instead, the facts were that he was assassinated by a member of the far left, who was a member of the Fair Play for Cuba Society, Lee Harvey Oswald, who would be, although he was a Southern white man, he was probably in the most left-wing one-half of 1% of Southerners when it came to his political stance. But did anyone in the left get any type of blowback? Did they get vilified? Did they get outed? Did they get defamed as a result of that? No, not at all. Not a jot or a tittle of negativity was directed at the left. In fact, what the leftist media did was say, this just shows you how irredeemably bad American society is that even a left-winger could do something like this. So, you know, it didn't matter. His politics didn't matter at all. He just became a kind of scapegoat white man.
Go, Earl.
That narrative has never changed either, by the way. They still use it every time there's a shooting of some kind.
Well, and they will continue to do so. Now, the amount of mileage that they get out of this one, will it be as much as they're shooting for? Will they be able to effectively restrict gun control to a greater extent?
No, that's not going to happen.
Will they be able to have the adverse psychological effect of those of us who truly are concerned with the disproportionate amount of black-on-white rapes and murders that occur in this country every single day? I hope not. But you know, they're going for the jugular with this one, Earl. I mean, this has played right into their hands.
I think it's a mistake. You know, Keith and I've kicked this around a little bit, and I may be wrong about this, but I sort of feel like we shouldn't deal with the corrupt leftist media. We shouldn't really grant them interviews because we just give them credibility that they don't deserve and haven't earned. And I told somebody from the, I guess it was the Daily Mail today, he called my house, and I said that to him. I said, you know, you're the corrupt leftist media. You're our enemy. We know that you're not honest in the way you report anything. Anyway, had a little fun.
Well, I mean, Eddie Miller was talking about that earlier, Earl. We were talking during one of the commercial breaks. He said, you know, why respond? I said, you know, certainly you could make a case, a compelling case, either way, to respond to these creeps or not. But I think, you know, certainly by having the media spotlight glaring upon you, you can use that opportunity to get the truth out there. Now,
Like, for example, let me remind James of the time when the correspondent from Die Zeit, newspaper, which is like the USA Today of Germany, came to Memphis, and we spent a full day with him. He came away with a story which was 180 degrees the opposite of what he was sent to get.
Of course.
He said he would report it, but the silence was deafening.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they come here and we don't fit the caricature, and oftentimes New York Times has come down here to interview me. Didn't get in print because I wasn't some knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. Earl, thank you for the call. We love you. We'll be back.
Guys, love you too.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're talking so much about this during the commercial break, we almost missed when we're back on the air live. I want to thank Earl Holt, the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, for making his public and official response to the media on the Political Cesspool radio program. Every news agency in the country is writing about the Council of Conservative Citizens at this very moment. It's in the New York Times. It's everybody. We scooped them all, thanks to Earl. And now to offer us a fresh perspective on this and another voice, to infuse another voice into the conversation we're having here, the likes of which, I'm telling you, come Monday, we're going to be right in the middle of this whole thing here on the political cesspool, and there's nowhere we'd rather be. We don't run from controversy. Obviously, we don't support the actions that this guy took, and that's to put it mildly, but we're not going to let this have the effect on us that they would like, that we're going to take a few steps back from the truth because this guy's said to have somehow had a perverted interpretation of it that led him to take part in this heinous crime. But anyway, Winston Smith has been following this dutifully, and I know listened to Earl Holt's remarks in the last segment and has many things he wants to say about Charleston. And I know, Winston, like me, you've spent some time in Charleston and hate to see the city sullied by such an action. Very beautiful place, very charming, historic southern city. But with that being said, take it wherever you want to go.
Thank you, James. And I would like to say that Earl's statement was spot on. I was reading it as Stephanie was typing it, and I was inspired. And he even mentioned something that I'm going to mention. And you're right, I did spend, I think it was over a decade in Charleston. I met the girl who's going to be my wife in Charleston. Three of my four children were born in or around Charleston. It's a beautiful place. I miss it dreadfully. I wish I could go back for a visit. I look forward to you sometime. And lucky
Winston, before you go further, I'm sorry to interrupt. Before you go further, if you were on, I know you're calling into the station tonight. If you were on a speakerphone, switch to handheld.
Oh, okay.
And continue.
Okay, how's this?
Better.
Okay, I think Stephanie can hear it. Okay. Well, James, I'll just jump right into what I was going to say. And what there are several things about this that have galled me, you know, like this kid shoots 9 people and blacks are saying that the Confederate flag on the State House grounds of Columbia is to blame and it therefore must come down because it's offensive to blacks. But, you know, in 2011, James, the South Carolina NAACP held a Martin Luther King rally on the State House grounds there, and they ordered a crate built around the statue of George Washington because he was a slaveholder, and his image is therefore offensive to blacks. Now, I doubt that there's nothing on the State House grounds that blacks can't find offensive. You know, the sun rises in the east, spring follows winter. Blacks are going to be offended about something. And these blind, obsessed creatures are dancing on the graves of the people who were killed there in Charleston. They're gleeful. They're overjoyed that 9 of their own were killed by that white kid. It's as good a reason as any to get the Confederate flag taken down. And their black privilege blinds them to just how disgusting they are. The only thing I'm wondering is when the reparations crowd will show up. But, James, early on in this, Obama decided to jump in and taint it, as is his wont, as he normally does. And he said, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of gun violence does not happen in other advanced countries. That's a direct quote. Now, I want him, or anyone out there who agrees with the politicizer-in-chief, to tell me which advanced countries don't experience this type of gun violence. I beg someone who agrees with Obama to call in and tell us which advanced countries don't have this type of gun violence. But I know Obama will never tell us, and I know that no Obama bot will ever tell us, because as soon as they do, the demographic component will immediately make itself obvious. There is one country that liberals and progressives, Democrats, and other Marxists love to trot out, and that's Australia. In the year before Australia made gun ownership illegal, that country had about 500 gun deaths. And after they criminalized gun ownership, they had about 100 gun deaths. And I say, bully for Australia. But is Australia overrun by violent blacks and illegal aliens? Look, James, why even look to Australia when we can look right here in the United States? Look at the cities and the states that have the highest rates of gun violence, and you'll immediately find that those areas have majority black and or illegal alien populations, and they have the most and the harshest gun control laws. And those laws have done nothing to stop gun violence in those areas. In fact, in 2014, Chicago alone had 407 murders. Compare that with the 500 murders in all of Australia the year before gun confiscation, and consider the demographics. Well, some might say, well, Winston Smith, Obama was talking about a particular type of gun violence. The mass murder by a lone white gunman has happened in Charleston and in several other places recently. To which I reply, again, it's the demographics. Omar Thornton, a black guy, shot and killed 8 white people and injured 2 others only because they were white. There was the Long Island Railroad Massacre, which Earl mentioned earlier, in which Colin Ferguson, a black guy, opened fire on a captive audience, if you will, on a subway car, killing 6 people and wounding 19. There was Floyd Corkins II, the black guy who charged into the American Family Association building in Washington, D.C., and was bent on killing as many people as possible, but he was stopped by a security guard. By the way, he got his information from the SPLC website, and nobody was calling the SPLC into account as they're calling the Council of Conservative Citizens to account.
Hear, hear.
And then there was Christopher Dorner, the black former Los Angeles police officer who in 2013 went on a rampage and killed 3 people and wounded 4. There was Aaron Alexis, a black guy who killed 12 people at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago. And there are others. One could say that lone black gunmen don't carry out Charleston-type gun violence as often as whites do. But again, it's demographics. Blacks comprise about 15% of the U.S. population, so they're not going to commit this type of crime as often, just by sheer numbers. But they do commit it. I've already proved that. Maybe it's just not their thing. But blacks...
But it's not reported.
...of other violent crimes. Stephanie says you said something, James.
No, I said it was me, and what I said was that you don't see the racial component reported with the same sharp focus
zeal
that you are with this, and the same gleeful zeal that you have with this. This is the perfect storm as far as the left is concerned. It doesn't matter if it's the most aberrant thing. It's as aberrant as Halley's Comet flying by every 75 years. But nonetheless, this is the news story of the millennium.
Indeed. But as I was saying, Keith, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But, you know, blacks do commit plenty of other violent crimes against whites and against other blacks. Blacks kill each other exponentially more than whites do. And then there's serial killers. The conventional wisdom is that serial murder is the domain of white people. And if that's what you think, then you need to lay hold of a book called The Rise of the Black Serial Killer, which proves that the number of black serial killers is about the same numerically as the number of white serial killers. But when you consider, again, that blacks are about 15% of the population, then you understand that proportionally, blacks are the actual rulers of the serial killer domain. So to Barack Hussein Obama, I say that we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that gun violence in particular and violence in general happens to be more in the U.S. simply because of demographics, and it is not the domain of white people. James?
Well, Winston, I appreciate the fact that you brought up the name of Omar Thornton and the others.
Colin Ferguson.
Right. Other comparable instances such as this in which the races were reversed. And we'll talk about that and explore that more when Winston rejoins us right after this next commercial break. So right now, just to recap, you've got yours truly, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, and Winston Smith, three of the four hosts here of the Political Cesspool. On the line now, Eddie is in studio and going to join us in the third hour.
Chomping at the bit.
Chomping at the bit to drop some bombs. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
There seems to be a problem here. I'm channel surfing on the telly, searching for the real news, but blimey, the American cable networks all seem to be reporting the same news. That's when I stumbled upon DailyKen.com. DailyKen.com sniffs out the news stories the others overlook. DailyKen.com doesn't try to be politically correct. Rather, DailyKen.com works hard to find stories ignored by the mainstream media. DailyKen.com adds commentary, insights, and sometimes a touch of humor. Well, there you have it. DailyKen.com. No more cable news networks for me.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, a couple of things very quickly go back to what Winston was talking about a moment ago with regards to Obama's first address to the nation, or his first press conference, I guess would be a more accurate description. With regard to the situation in Charleston, of course, he went on the full offensive with his attack on guns, speech, thought. He tied it in seamlessly to the so-called civil rights movement, and on and on and on. But the thing he mentioned that Winston pointed out was that this occurs in no other advanced nation except for America, this type of gun violence, which is, Winston pointed out the absurdity in that statement. But I would say this to Barack. I would say, well, what about the fact that one in four women in Sweden are raped by Muslims? You know, and they are an advanced country that has very restrictive gun control laws. You have nearly a quarter of the female population there being subjected to rape. So would this be something that you would call an advanced society?
Having gun control laws doesn't solve all ills, as he would have you believe, James.
Rape uses the other gun. If any of those people had been armed, perhaps they could have fended off their rapist. And if any of the people in that church had been armed, they'd still be alive. And that's just a fact. It's a sad fact, because you don't want to, you know, use the deaths of these people to make a political point like our enemies do. But it's a fact nonetheless. Winston, we have an incredible caller on the line that we're going to get to in just a moment. I'm not sure if you're aware of who the caller is, but before we go to him, I want to – oh, Eddie wants to say hello to you, number one, first and foremost, most important. But let's go to you, Winston. Further thoughts on what I just said or anything else before we take a call?
Well, James, you're absolutely right. If we're going to say that we're going to start talking about advanced societies and advanced nations not experiencing something, then we need to carry that to its logical extreme. And the example of rape by Muslims in European countries is perfect. The problem there again is demographics. You know, I saw a story today about. Or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, about Iceland. And they've had their first crime in Iceland in 50 years.
Yeah.
And that crime was somebody stole some groceries, and I think some bobbleheads or something like that. But that was the first crime in Iceland in 50 years. And you look at the demographics of Iceland, and what do you see? It's like 100% white.
Well, I think that is a stark compare and contrast. And a good one that should be pointed out in light of this. Don't we wish we were more like Iceland? I don't know if they're considered advanced or not, but they're a lot more advanced than we are in that regard. Winston, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we have a caller on the line right now who is a talk radio show host in Charleston, South Carolina. Rocky D is his name.
Hey.
Rocky, hey, welcome to the show. For the benefit of myself, Winston, and the rest of the audience, why don't you share with us the stations that you're on in Charleston?
I'm on. I just got axed over at 1340 and 950. There is in Charleston a huge black hole. So I went on my own. I'm doing an internet show on RockyD.com, and the radio stations here are having a snit fit about it. Well, let me tell you, James, you've been on my show before, James, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, I remember. I remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, I used to be at WTMA, which now is a giant empty building. But besides that, everything's okay here now, James, because we took the Confederate flag down, and now everybody's okay, and there's not going to be any violence anymore, because that's what it was all about, the Confederate flag.
That's right.
No more murders in Charleston.
I've been downtown. I've seen all this stuff. I'm only about 4 miles from Ground Zero of this event right now, and there's lots of people down there singing Kumbaya. But I'll tell you what's got Charleston in an uproar here, right here. We've been talking about it all week at RockyD.com, and I'm getting, and I hope you don't mind if I plug it, but the thing is,
absolutely not.
Here's what the mainstream media didn't show you, James. Okay, people standing across the street from the church yelling at Geraldo, "Go home, we don't want you here." Okay, people at the airport yelling at Al Sharpton, "Why are you here?" Okay, nobody invited you here. I think it is very telling at the mainstream media, Schlock News, the Comedy News Network, PMSNBC, all of them can't figure out how come there's no riots or trouble here after this mass murder. And that's what it was. It was not a hate crime. It was a mass murder. This guy went in there to murder people, and he did exactly that. Why has there not been any riots? This is Charleston. We all get along pretty well. The nonsense you hear from people from the North and people from the Midwest, I'm from Chicago, about Southerners and we don't get along, it's a bunch of gooey. It's a bunch of gooey. We get along fine here. That's one thing. The other thing is, let's face it, everybody here is armed. Everybody's packing heat. You know, it didn't take long to catch this guy. And this guy is not a member of any organization that we know of. I called the Sons of Confederate Veterans. They said, don't ask us. We don't know this guy. We sure wouldn't have him in our group. I know Kyle Rogers from the Council of Conservative Citizens, I think. He lives right up to about 30 miles from me right here.
He lives in Charleston.
Kyle Rogers from the CCC, I think it is. They're listing him in the Post and Courier tonight, James, as a hate monger, part of a hate group.
I'm going to tell you, you know, if any danger, you know, if you can link this guy to the shootings, or if you can link the council to the shootings that took place at the church, you have got to link any media source that gives out Kyle's name and address, because he lives right there in Charleston where the powder keg is. And I know he's under assault at his home tonight. We know that. If anything happens, they are already, you know, have put him in great danger. Yes, absolutely.
Look, what we have here, James, is not a member of a hate group or even a wannabe hate group guy. We have a confused, strange, warped, metrosexual, emasculated wimp all jacked up on brain candy. This is what we got. You realize that he was busted with Suboxone a while back? You know what that stuff is?
That's right.
You take you know what oxycodone is, right? You take that when you get operations and stuff like that. Whatever, you know, they give it to you, it's a big painkiller. Yeah, take 3 oxycodones and a shot of Jack. That's a Suboxone. This stuff will knock a horse over. What is this guy doing taking this stuff? He's all of 120 pounds. He's 21 years old. He has a Mo Howard haircut. He makes Emo. Remember Emo, the comedian, a while back?
Right.
he makes Emo look like the Incredible Hulk. This kid had more problems than anybody I could figure. And I don't believe, James, we in Charleston here, all my radio buddies, who most of them are afraid and running for the corners to hide, because none of them will come out and say the things I'm saying. And in fact, they call me all the time and feed me info of what's going on. The fact is that this guy is indicative of the bad upbringing of bad families, and it still doesn't excuse shooting people. How many people you know, James, from broken families who don't shoot people?
Well, right? Hey, Rocky, this is Keith Alexander. I'm a co-host with James.
It's a great point. And
let me point this out. We were talking about this at the break. This boy is a victim of the left-wing engineered destruction of the American family. He comes from a broken home. He went to 5 different schools between junior high and high school. He's a high school dropout as a result. The left has worked too well to create Dylan Roof. Okay, Dylan Roof is a creation of the leftist stew that they have, concocted and marinated America's youth in. He's a poster child for what has happened to the American family.
You've seen a picture of his father, right, Franklin Roof?
No, I haven't.
Right? You should see the picture of him, and you'll be looking at it, and you'll think, he's walking down the street in front of his house with his cameras there. He's got no shirt on. He's a big brute of a flabby guy. He's 53 years old or something. He still has nipple rings on, okay? I mean, what 53-year-old do you know that has nipple rings that isn't a professional wrestler? Okay? He's tattooed from wrist to the wrist. I mean, this guy, there's a reason.
Look, this kid didn't have a chance.
But, yeah, there's a reason this guy looks like a jackass. He is. Okay? his stepmother ran out on him because the relationship between his father and his stepmother got violent. This guy, Dylan, goes and slinks in a corner for many years of his life, drops out of school, gets busted for vagrant kind of weird things so many times I can't even count them. I mean, he was asked to leave the mall nearby because he was bothering people.
He was banned.
Go ahead.
Well, the mall banned him for a year for certain shenanigans, and then he went back and got arrested for trespass. But yeah, he'd been in trouble with the law. Everything that you mentioned, Rocky, this is the point I want to make. Everything that you mentioned just then, I think you went through about four or five different factors that played into the product that he developed into. All of them far more should be under far more scrutiny than the fact that he went to a website that told the truth about crime. And Rocky, we're going to get you back on next week when our coverage of this continues. I want to take advantage of you being on the ground if you'll let us. I have to get back to Winston Smith this next segment, but thank you so much for calling in. Certainly a highlight of the program.
And an awful lot.
James, thanks.
After these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, because of the Charleston connection that Rocky D has, being a talk radio show host in the Holy City, we got an email from him, and we had had him on before in the past, many years ago, and to have the opportunity to have him on live tonight to talk about this from
Ground Zero.
Now,
are we networked or what, James? I tell you, we have a network that is just hanging on.
How about that? This hour alone, we had two unexpected guests, one being the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, an organization that is making international news this very minute, breaking news. He has declined all other interview requests, but came on here on this program to make his response known, an exclusive, to make his response known to the media. And then, 2 segments later, we get the great radio talker Rocky D on three stations in Charleston formerly. We have dead people and hosting the show, and blind people producing it, and we got Winston Smith. Of course, we had to clear the decks to get Winston back on. But Winston, your thoughts on what Keith just mentioned—the fact that here, live, unscripted and unrehearsed, we have Rocky D and the president of the council adding fuel to the commentary.
Now, where could you get a better commentary on this particular episode, as unfortunate as it is, than on this show?
You're not going to get one that's going to hit it from the angles that we have tonight, not from that unique and objective point of view. Winston, your thoughts?
James, I wasn't in Charleston when Rocky D showed up, but I do remember very well listening to WTMA back in the days of Dan Moon and Bill Sharp and some other characters there. There used to be a guy come on. I can't remember his name. Blast! They used to offer some very pithy commentary. But you're absolutely right. This seems to have been a banner night for the political cesspool. And you know, when you combine that with the fact that James, we know who's listening to us tonight. You and I discussed that earlier. We know who is listening to us, and we know what they are listening for.
I want to say this to piggyback on what you just said, Winston. You're right. We do know who's tuned in tonight. We know that the SPLC and the ADL and the international media are going to listen, especially to this hour, with Earl Holt having been on and this fantasy connection between the council and the shooter being explored. It would have been the path of least resistance. It would have been much safer for us to just talk about whatever tonight and leave this completely
alone.
Leave it alone completely. But we charge where dare few trod.
We ride to the sound of the guns.
And let me tell you something. That's not how we do business here. We abhor violence, but we will stand in defense of the truth and our people and what's right for all Americans, and we believe that people need to have an objective dose of the truth, and we're thankful that we have the God-given freedom of speech and the air in our lungs to deliver this message to you, and we wouldn't back away from this. No how, no way. That's not what we're here to do. We are here to fight, and we're happy to do it with people like you, Winston, and Keith Alexander, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and the support we receive from the network, and, of course, having Earl and Rocky call in tonight certainly adds a little hot fudge to the Sunday. But Winston, I apologize to you because this was intended to be an hour during which you would pretty much control the pace. And we, of course, had these two callers that we couldn't ignore. I want to give you all the time you need to wrap up any thoughts or points that you had intended to make that because of the situation had not had time to get to yet.
Oh, James, I didn't expect that this entire hour would be mine or anything like that. I was glad to hear that Keith was going to be there, our political cesspool's intellectual great white shark. I can say that all day long. Political cesspool, intellectual great white shark. We don't get together as often as we would like or as often as we need to, as often as we should. You mentioned the truth earlier, and the reason we do things the way we do is because we are vitally interested in the truth. The truth is what matters to us, unlike our opponents, who are far more interested, nay, obsessed with what they call controlling the narrative. During the Thugmo troubles after Michael Brown attacked Darren Wilson, whenever they did the man on the street interviews with the protesters, if you want to call them that, they frequently use the phrase controlling the narrative. And controlling the narrative is not finding the truth. And that's what we want on the political cesspool. A hard truth is better than an easy lie. And it's the terrible fact that people are more interested in controlling the narrative and just playing one-upsmanship, that's what's dividing us. If we could just admit the truth that the racial problems in this country do not fall at the feet of white people, but at the feet of the left and their mind-numbed zombies, that's where the fault for racial issues in this country fall. Not upon us, but upon them.
Winston, this is Keith.
Yes.
Let me say this. This whole controlling the narrative is being controlled by the leftist media for one purpose and one purpose alone, to vilify white people, to make white people seem as if they're the heart of darkness. We are, as Susan Sontag famously said, of human history. And supposedly, all black discontent, all non-white discontent in the world is due to the evil machinations of white people. This is a narrative that the left and the media, which are the lapdogs of the left, are trying to engineer and control through this story. And make no mistake about it.
You're absolutely right, Keith. That is the truth. And to buttress that point, I have before me an article from Salon Magazine, which is just, you know, slightly below Mad Magazine as far as being of any use. By the way, I used to read Mad Magazine a lot when I was a kid. Anyhow, this article in Salon Magazine is called "White People Must Answer for Charleston Church Shooting," and they have these. This list of questions, 8 questions, and look at the insidiousness and the blaming in these questions. The first one is, what is radicalizing white men to commit such acts of domestic terrorism and mass shootings? Are Fox News and the right-wing media encouraging violence? Question number 2.
It must be Jeb Bush.
The white man. Stephanie didn't hear that.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is, he said it must be Jeb Bush. But the thing is, you know, talk about the violence perpetrated by black males. You know, what's called, there's never been a critical analysis that looks into that except for on programs such as this. And obviously that double standard and hypocrisy is
permeating.
Well, it's nothing new to question why that exists. But, you know, the violence from white males, I mean, it's. Once in a blue moon, it's a once in a blue moon occurrence.
It ranks right up there with the violence of albinos, I guess.
Anyway, go ahead, Winston. Finish your thoughts before we run out of time.
Oh, you're right, James. That was the point I was going to make at the end of this. Question number 2 in the Salon Magazine article says, is something wrong with the white family? Why are their sons and men so violent? Question number 3, what should law enforcement and white politicians do about white crime? Question number 4, is the Charleston mass shooting just one more sign that America needs sensible and reasonable gun control policies? Number 5, where are the white fathers in the white home? I'll answer that one.
They've been driven out by the left.
As far as I know, the white fathers are there. It's like they took these questions and they were asked about the black community and about black society in the United States, and they just substituted white because this is the photographic negative of the actual fact. Question number 6, when will white leadership step up and stop white right-wing domestic terrorism? And that's going to be the phrase of the future, white domestic terrorism. Well, you know, I gave 4 examples of black domestic terrorists, and nobody will dare call them that, even though that's what they are. Look, folks, the reason incidents is like this, what happened in Charleston, make the news is because they happen so infrequently. If the mainstream news media reported on black-on-white violence like they should, that is all they would be reporting on because it is so pervasive in the United States.
Winston, this is Keith. It's like white-generated violence against blacks is almost like man bites dog. It's that infrequent, that rare, compared to the converse of it, which you properly identified.
Exactly. Question number 7. Is white American culture pathological? And why is white America so violent? And the last one, question number 8. Are there appropriate role models for white men and boys? Could better role models and mentoring help prevent white men and boys from committing mass shootings and being seduced by right-wing domestic terrorism? This article is absolutely slanderous. Well, it's libelous. I don't know who this person is who wrote it, but they're certainly not a reporter or a journalist. They're not a deep thinker. They're pretty much just a typist. I think they're getting their talking points from maybe the Black Lives Matter crowd, but they're certainly not getting it from a little thing I like to call reality.
Well, Winston, that is the cherry on top of this particular hour. I want to thank you for your contributions to tonight's show, as well as that of Keith Alexander. Eddie the Bombardier Miller says hi to you, Winston, and that he loves you. I want to thank also Earl Holt and Rocky D for coming on this hour. Coming up third and final hour, I'll be here with the Bombardier. Stay tuned.